Good morning, everyone. Leviticus 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel, and say to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded, saying, any man from the house of Israel who slaughters an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or who slaughters it outside the camp, and has not brought it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood guiltiness is to be reckoned to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off among his people. The reason is so that the sons of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they were sacrificing in the open field, that they may bring them into the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting to the priest, and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord. The priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting and offer the fat in smoke as a soothing aroma to the Lord. They shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the harlot. This shall be a permanent statute to them throughout their generations." So in my perspective, what's happening here is, originally, it seems as though, you know, you could eat an animal and not offer it to the Lord. It wasn't, you know, God wanted you to bring offerings to him and make, you know, make peace offerings, make sin offerings, guilt offerings, that kind of thing at the tabernacle, like we have said. And again, a peace offering was something that you could eat and celebrate. You're celebrating peace with God, and the, you know, priests would get to share in that food as well. So maybe a couple things. One we're seeing clearly is happening, but maybe people are like, well, I'll just make my own sacrifice. I don't need to keep bringing it to the tabernacle. One, they wouldn't have to share, right, with the priests. Secondly, it appears that some of the Israelites, it's just amazing what's in them, were offering sacrifices outside of the camp to false gods. And because of these things getting out of control, my perspective, God is saying, listen, I'm just going to outlaw that. We're not going to have any more of that. You guys are going to bring all of your offerings to me, because then you won't offer it to a false god and you'll share with the priests. So this is now going to be the rule and the law. And he's trying to keep them from, you know, doing stupid things, which God's people tend to do. Verse 8, "Then you shall say to them, any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among you, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man also shall be cut off from his people." One of the things that I want you to see is early on in the desert here, people, aliens, meaning people not from Israel, and others sojourned among them. And, you know, the Abrahamic blessing said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And if people were willing to worship Yahweh, Israel would worship, allow people to be, you know, they wouldn't be an Israelite, but they would be a worshiper of Yahweh and would be a part of the fold of the camp, and would be allowed in, you know, to kind of be with them, which is really what it was designed, you know, the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing to the nations. Later on in history, though, the Jews lost sight of that, because unfortunately, when they did end up, you know, participating or spending more time with people who had pagan gods, they would end up worshiping their pagan gods. So then the Jews ended up looking at Gentiles, you know, as outsiders and wanting to stay away from them, because they, in their minds, they were trying to keep themselves pure. But what they were supposed to be able to do is keep themselves pure and help others to see the goodness of Yahweh and following him and not follow after other gods. So we do see more participation, I can't even say it, from other people around here that could also offer sacrifices to God at the tabernacle, but they too were not supposed to offer their own sacrifices out in the fields. I think God didn't want them to be a bad example, these aliens and sojourners, and get Israel to participate in that. So, and any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from his people. We're not supposed to eat of blood. And, you know, I don't know where we learned that. I guess you learned that from your parents, but ultimately they learned it, I think, from someone else, and ultimately they learned it from God. And he tells us why here. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. See, something had to die in order to atone for your sin. And the blood was a symbol of the life, because if you drain the blood out of an animal or a human, they lose their life. And someone had to lose their life to atone for sin. As we heard in Leviticus 16, you know, Jesus gave his blood and gave his life so that we could be forgiven. And life is in the blood, and you're not supposed to partake of the blood. So therefore, it says, verse 12, therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them in hunting catches a beast or a bird which may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with earth. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood as identified with its life. Therefore I say to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. When any person eats any animal which dies or is torn by beasts, whether he is native or alien, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and remain clean until evening. Then he will become clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his blood, then he shall bear his guilt. And, you know, sometimes I think you'll see, like, people who worship false gods or devil worshipers, and they will eat blood, or you can think of maybe things like that where people have blood dripping out of their mouth. Well, that's a totally against God. And, you know, God makes it clear. He repeats himself, doesn't he? That we're not to partake of blood, and the life is in the blood. And we saw again, the aliens and strangers were allowed to be a part of them, and they just needed to follow the same rules. Isn't that interesting? Just briefly, how we could apply that today. We still live in a world that's pagan, right? I mean, we have Christian brothers and sisters in a church and friends, but we also intermix. We live amongst people who do not believe, and that's okay. But what is supposed to happen is that we influence them to learn about God, not they influence us to do wrong by God. And that's what we have to evaluate when we're hanging out with people of the world, is are we lifting them up, bringing them towards God, or are they bringing us down and away from God? If we can help them, that's something that God has us on mission here to do. But we have to be careful, because if it's having a negative influence on us, we need to gain strength and separate until we can then again, you know, be in the world, but not of the world. So we have a mission, but the mission is to help them know Jesus, not for us to become more like them. God bless you all.